could be a simple thing that makes your organization a better place for women. It could be, hey, I need, sometimes my kids call in, you know, from school sick, like I need more flexibility to go pick them up from school or whatever it is. And sit down and listen to the experiences that other people are having, and then be open to working through what needs to happen to make changes in your organization that can support the women. Because the more women feel supported in your organization, if it's a business, if this is business we're talking about, you're going to have a better talent pool. You're going to have a more diverse thought in your organization. All of those things will contribute to the success.
All right, we're rolling. Thanks so much for being here, Mackenzie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have a conversation with you. Thanks, Dalton, for having me.
Of course, yeah, long time coming. I want to start the podcast off with a question. You're the CEO, co-founder of Thread Wallets, but there's a pretty unique, from what I've done in my research, there's a pretty unique mission behind Thread and the company, right? To help people, like the goal is carry on and things like that. Can you kind of go into the mission of Thread and what you guys are trying to bring to the world?
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband and I'm actually not Thread in 2015, and we sell carry products. So we started with wallets, and then we introduced lanyards, which is kind of a mind-blowing product because it's so simple, but it's like one of our best sellers. So lanyards, chapstick holders, phone cases, AirPod cases, we have bags now. So what started out as a really simple product, being wallets, led us into a broader category of like all things carry. So over the past few years, we've kind of like, okay, what do we really want to stand for? Like when Colby and I first started the business, we were kind of just like throwing whatever we could at the wall to see what would stick. And we were just like day-to-day survival mode. And then as we brought on a team, we were like, okay, we kind of need to figure out where we really want to go with this and what we really want to be known for. So in about 2020, which was a hard year for everyone, and I feel like people are probably getting sick of hearing about 2020, but because of the pivots we had to take as a business, we really started leaning into telling stories and leaning into the narrative of progression and moving forward when things are tough, or just like trying to learn a new trick, skateboarding, like whatever it is, just super simple things even, but that really honed in on this mindset of progression. So we decided at that time to lean into not only the narrative of like we provide carry products, but we want to be a brand that inspires people to carry on and seek progression and like forward movement at all times. So we want to become the go-to brand for all things carry, meaning like the items that you carry, bags, purses, wallets, travel gear, whatever it may be. But then we also really want to inspire people through the stories that we tell, whether it's like our ambassadors, our employees, our influencers, our customers. We really want to tell stories of progression and really play on that idea of carrying on, moving forward.
Yeah. Where did that, I love that mission. Where did that idea kind of come from? Like, how did it all come to play? I know you mentioned a little bit about 2020 and things like that, but it's a very unique situation when you want to highlight the stories of others, and just curious, like how that all, like where the seed came from for that.
Well, we believe, and like I said, when we first started Thread, we kind of didn't have the time to focus on like what the bigger mission or bigger picture is, but we really believe like any successful brand has a mission greater than just the product they're selling. Right. So if wallets become obsolete at some point and all we're focusing on is selling wallets, then we're in a really tough position. Mm-hmm. But when you lean into more of like a mindset and, okay, we're going to really try to inspire people to do X, Y, and Z, then your brand can become something bigger and more sustainable, because if the product you're selling becomes obsolete, you can like add other products or other consumer goods, at least for us, to really like push forward that narrative. So mm-hmm. we knew that's something that we wanted to do. And like I said, in 2020, there was just so much going on. Like everybody was up in the air with like their jobs, with their careers, with their family life, their health. And we'd been in business for 5 years at that point. So I was like, okay, let's, and it kind of just happened naturally. Like we, and if you remember, it wasn't just COVID that made 2020 a crazy year. There was like the Black Lives Matter movement. There were so many crazy things that really were crazy, impactful, momentous things that happened that were like, we can't just be a brand that focuses on our product. We have to do more and be more than that. So we made carry products, the, like I said, the wallets, the bags, things like that. But it just kind of fit naturally to start telling a narrative of people who are carrying on. One of our ambassadors in either late 2020 or early 2021, she actually, it's crazy, but she got her face eaten off by a dog. One of her friend's dogs attacked her.
Whoa.
Off her lip, her upper lip and part of her nose. And so it was stories like that, that, and she's an amazing skater. And she'd been on our team for a couple years or a year or so. And so it was like stories like that and seeing her continue to pursue progression and like bettering herself and bettering her skills and her talents, despite the challenges, that were really inspirational to us. And everybody has stories like that. It doesn't have to be as huge as getting your face bitten off by a literal dog, but it can be, you know, just anyday trials. Like, and a lot of that, and these are big things, but to a lot of people, but it can be anxiety, it can be depression, it can be trying to fit in with the right friend group, trying to overcome some family struggles. It can be as simple as wanting to just be better in the sport that you like. Whatever it is, everyone has a story of progression and picking themselves up after they fall down. And so that was really what was like key for us, to understanding that this is where we wanted to spend our time and what we really wanted to like build our brand off of.
I love that. Would you say that would you say that was the moment when you saw Thread really start to take off, or was there a different point in time where you like, cause it started in 2015, right? And now we're in 2023. So there's that's a long timeline. When did you really feel like you had something? Like, I know this is it, right?
We actually got really lucky with our product and product market fit. And like when we started our business, because Instagram was really young. So we are fortunate enough that we've had like a decent amount of success since the beginning. So it was before we really leaned into this narrative that I was like, this is that our team felt that this is working. This is going places. This is like, we're gaining momentum. But I think since 2020, when we really like established our identity as like who we want to become, our core values, what we're going to like push outward facing and who we're going to become internally, that, I would say that really did help propel us forward. I think that there was a lot of momentum going into that decision, but it definitely has helped us refine our marketing, our content, our culture, all of those things. And that has pushed us forward.
I like that.
For sure.
And I've seen you kind of all over LinkedIn, which is awesome. Like, I've had the pleasure of interviewing a lot of other awesome women entrepreneurs and founders. So like, you know, Sid Tetro's been on, Susan Peterson's been on, all these bigger names in like the e-commerce space. What was it like for you coming into e-commerce? I mean, 2020 is when it all started to turn around. There's a lot of big events that are happening. Forbes 30 under 30, right? Notable accomplishment for you. How did it feel for you coming into like stepping into the e-commerce world in 2020?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I studied international like relations, international cultural studies in college, and minored with a degree in political science. So I did not anticipate ever being in this space. But I think what I loved about building a company. And like I said earlier, I was the CMO for up until 2021. So for 6 years, I just love storytelling. Mm-hmm. And whether that's storytelling about a product or your ambassadors or your employees or the company you're building, whatever it is, I love storytelling. And I love the idea of building community or building relationships, fostering identity through storytelling. So that's what I think really drove me to like the marketing aspect of building an e-commerce brand. But yeah, stepping into like e-commerce and understanding it, especially beginning in 2020, has been really crazy. Like, it's such an ever-changing landscape. The dynamic is crazy. Ads are crazy. Like, there's so many things that are ever-changing. So, yeah, it's been wild. I don't really know if that answers your question, but, like, being in the e-commerce, consumer goods, D2C space isn't a place I am, like I said, I anticipated being. So it's been a huge learning experience, but really, really wonderful and has taught me a lot. Yeah. And I'm really grateful for it.
I love it. Because if I remember reading correct, Thread kind of came about too, because was it your husband now then boyfriend lost his wallet, right?
Yes. Yep, exactly.
I love that. What a cool story, because every time I interview business owners, right? I've interviewed a ton, had over like 300 hours of interviewing business owners. And that's kind of a theme, wow, right? Which is like, I never thought we'd be here. We kind of just fell into it. And then we just took it and ran with it. What do you think prepares somebody? And by the way, I want to ask you about storytelling, because I think that's fascinating. But what do you think prepares somebody to when they see an opportunity to like really feel like, all right, this is what I got to do right now and grab it? What do you feel like prepared you maybe?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I actually was just listening to a podcast about business the other day, and the person being interviewed brought up a really good analogy that I loved. And he talked about how when you're dating, you don't marry the first person you date. Like, you experience other people and you have 2 year long relationships, you have 3 month long relationships, you have the occasional one night hookup, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, there is a vast like array of the relationships you pursue. And he was comparing that to business, that a lot of people, when they start a business or they have an idea, they feel like this has to be it. Like, this is the idea. And they stick with it and they try to make it work. And sometimes they go into it too deep, too long, and they're married to the idea and they won't change or shift based on what either the consumers are telling them, the industry is telling them, whatever. Mm. So I really like this idea. If you're preparing to like pursue an idea or start a business, that is kind of smart to date around, like cool. Try different things. Experiment with different things. Sometimes you'll have a 3 month long relationship with an idea. Sometimes it'll be a 2 year long relationship with an idea. Sometimes it will be like a day that you're like, I have this idea, and you're talking about it. And then by the next day you lose steam. But I really just like the idea that if you have something you want to pursue or a concept that comes to your mind, like just like toy around with it, like give it some time, whether it's a day or a week or a month, like, I think that that's probably the best advice I give, because I think some people, you're scared to even dive in, mm-hmm. and that's not healthy either. You'll never end up getting married if you don't. Maybe some people don't want to get married, but I just really like that analogy. I think it was really fun and entertaining to think about that. So if you have an idea or like a venture you want to pursue, I just say go for it. Just like try to figure out, give yourself time, take it as a relationship, and just really try to understand and the concept and what you want it to become. And I think that that's like, I think that's really good advice.
I think
it's not mine, but I love that analogy.
But it's great. But, and it answers the question perfectly. And you know, what's interesting about the question as well, again, kind of along the similar vein of other entrepreneurs. But what I really love about that concept is it kind of goes against the whole hustle culture thing, right? Which is like, don't quit. Like, times are going to get hard. And so this is interesting. Now, you gave the analogy. I thought it was perfect. Did you experience that? Did you try different businesses and maybe go through a couple?
Well, yeah. What's really interesting is that we, I mean, in Thread itself, and it kind of comes back to this idea of like embracing failure, learning from failure, is that in Thread itself, there's been many ideas that it's like, let's try this out. Let's try a loyalty program. Let's try this summer adventure, like incentive program, like whatever it is. Like there's so many things that we've tried and it doesn't work. And then we move on to another idea. And so whether it's within the venture that you're starting now, I think testing and exploring and trying new things and giving things legs to move like is really important. But yeah, a big part of our story at the beginning of Thread is that we received funding via a Kickstarter campaign that my husband ran for a class with the idea that this would be soccer shop. So when I was dating my husband, he was playing soccer at BYU Provo. He was an amazing athlete, was getting offers to play professional. And him and his buddy had recognized that a lot of teams are like in head-to-toe gear from Adidas or Nikes, but then their socks are just like mismatched, who cares, whatever. So he's like, we should own the soccer sock category. Like, and design really cool soccer socks for like teams and clubs and whatever it is. And so they had a huge order. They put in an order in China for, I think it was probably like $5,000 worth of these like custom socks. But to fund that, they put together the Kickstarter idea because we had developed out this elastic wallet to meet our own needs because my husband had lost his wallet. He had been using a rubber band. So we basically built up this like glorified rubber band and we fell in love with the functionality. And within a couple of weeks, we started noticing that other people were falling in love with the functionality and that's what was selling. So my husband and his buddy at the time who had put together this Kickstarter campaign for a class and this project that they were working on canceled the order of socks and we leaned into the wallet category. So
wow, that
for
quick.
Sure. Like there have been so many instances where you have an idea and you date the idea for a while and then you realize this isn't the right fit. I'm going to pivot. And we did. And now it's been 8 years and, you know, we're really glad that we listened to that, the feedback that we were receiving, because if we were pursuing soccer socks and Stance just a few years later came out with like all the NBA and the golf and the baseball and the soccer, like they did it. And we wouldn't have succeeded if we were competing against a brand that already had this huge established identity and network. So yeah, that I think is a very specific example that answers that question.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, again, it's just kind of like the opposite of what you hear, like if you pay attention to the wrong YouTube channels, right? Which is like, keep going, you can do it. But yeah. I think there's some realism in that, right? Which is like, hey, we need to find out what we're really good at. And you know, cause I do I did the same thing. Like I have a little sales mastermind course and I was like, look, if I go up against Grant Cardone or Jeb Blunt, like I'm not going to make it. Right. So I need to like figure out how to make this work for me. And that means like changing up some of the things that I loved about selling right in sales courses. But it's super interesting there. Now, kind of to go back just a little bit, I'm fascinated with this idea of stories, right? I feel like we kind of get caught on LinkedIn or like in the business world between like a buzzword and like an actual principle, right? So like for a long time for me, until I interviewed Sid Tetro, value was a buzzword. Then she taught me about what it really was. And so storytelling, like I think we've all got the importance of storytelling, like why it's important. But like I want to know for you, like are there some specific elements that need to go into a paragraph that make it a story, that makes it different from like, you know, like a product description or different from a, you know what I mean? From a caption or something like that. What's, you know, cause there's obviously there's gotta be a difference and maybe sometimes it's the same, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think when you're just selling a product, you focus on like the features, the functionality. And if you're consumer goods brand like us, there's going to be a mix, right? You're going to be focusing on the product that you're selling, but you're also going to be focusing on the deeper meaning. So a lot of the stories that we tell are surrounded by, okay, leave the product aside and let's just focus on this person who is doing something really cool and progressing in a really cool way. For example, back to our athlete, Brooklyn, who got her face bitten off by a dog. Like that's a story that you don't even need to focus on the product. like leave the product out of that. You just focus on the person. And I think there's a lot of power in that. But then I think there's ways in which we can connect the two. Like our products literally help you carry on. Like we believe that our products make your life easier and help you get to where you're going in a more efficient and not productive, but just maybe even fashionable. I don't know, because we're trying to tie self-expression to it. But I think that there's a cool story behind that. Like when you're going somewhere, whether it's on a trip or you're learning how to skateboard and you're picking up the skateboard for the first time and you're learning how to ollie, like our products are going to be there helping you get to that point quicker or just get you to where you're going the way that you need it to. Our bags, our wallets, whatever it is. So I think storytelling, like you really have to sit down and look at the individual story. What is it with Brooklyn, or whether it's like, okay, we're going to tell our, like, I'm trying to think what our last narrative was for one of our collection launches. I can't even remember, but you pick like what you're going to focus on and then you build from there. Like, okay, our story with Brooklyn, we're going to leave the product out of it. We're going to just really focus on her and the person behind it. Okay, this person, let's focus on like Jeremy Carter is a surfer on our team. And when he goes surfing, he carries our bags with his stuff in it because that is a small way that he can put his keys, his phone, and his wallet into a bag to go surfing to this, like on his e-bike. So we're telling a story that includes the product. So I think it's just really like thinking about what you want from the story. I'm rambling here, but what you want from the story and then diving deep into that. And sometimes you have to think, okay, what would the consumer, what would our audience want from this story? They will be pushed. Is this the appropriate place to even be mentioning our product? Is this the appropriate place to be going deep with this like really personal story of triumph over tragedy, whatever it is? And so I think it's really like understanding that concept and what you want from the story and then going from there. And just like I said, I think that you have to like be willing to pivot. Like you could start telling a story and be like, well, that was not resonating with people. So now we're going to switch into something different. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's so many different like key elements to story building. I'm grateful that we have an amazing marketing team and content team who are really good at telling stories visually, who are really good at telling stories with words or through video with music paired to it. And I don't know, we could have a whole podcast storytelling. And I don't know if that really answers your question, but I think it's just knowing what you want from it and what your consumers expect and driving, like you mentioned with Sid Tetra, like the value, like how is this going to impact the people that we're serving? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times today, I think that really bringing in the personal element to it and leaving out the product, because people are being pushed ads and product and services all the time on social media, on TikTok, on email, on SMS. And some of our best performing emails are when we leave the product out of it completely. And it's like telling a story about one of our ambassadors or, hey, let's connect with this person and watch as they're shaping this board. Like we did a series about like shaping a surfboard and like what that meant. And so there's just, I don't know. There's so much to it, but I think that it's really diving the personal element of storytelling and giving people a reason to resonate with your brand outside of the product. Because there might be people who've never purchased your product, but if you're telling these like really personal stories, they might resonate with your brand before they buy something from you at all.
Yeah. You know what? While you were telling that story, I was just thinking of an Apple commercial that I saw the other day, and the only reason I remember it was an Apple commercial was because their logo came on at the end, but like the whole thing was just like somebody riding their bike or whatever. I never saw a computer, never saw an Apple Watch, never saw the phone. It just said like something about happiness and then Apple logo. And that was it. And I was like, but I was like, I love Apple now. Like, because like, it was just a normal thing. And it was just this little quick story. So I think you're onto something with that point of like, not necessarily highlighting the brand. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you wouldn't think like, oh, a computer equals happiness or a watch equals happiness. But when I think of Apple, I'm like, their products make my life significantly more convenient and that equals happiness. Yeah. Like that makes my life happy. When I can get in touch with my husband quickly, when I can respond to a message really quickly, when I can monitor my health habits quickly, like those things bring value to my life. And so I think that you go back, maybe everyone needs to go listen to that your podcast with Sid to understand value. But with your storytelling, I think that you really need to understand the value you're trying to bring.
I think so. And Sid did great. I was super humbled to be on that one. This is always very humbling for me. Even to be on a podcast with you, like I just learn so much every time. And every day I get to break through with these interviews. I get to break a little bit of that shell that everybody puts around themselves, like, I can't do a business, I can't do this. And it's like, no, actually, we all just like, two comments, because one of them was like, my wrestling coach always used to say, like, we used to be like, who are we wrestling and stuff like that. And he goes, I know actually the most important thing about the person you're going to wrestle next. And we're like, what? And thinking it's going to be some big thing. And he goes, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like you. He's like, forget about you know what I mean? Yeah, holy cow. You know, and it always, always made us a little, cause we were young and hot headed or whatever. So a little upset, but we were like, but now I get it though. I'm like, yeah, there's just, we can do this, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I also,
that's awesome. I like, yeah, everyone pants on one leg at a time.
Right. Right. And it's, and it was just that. You're just like, it was the meaning of like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, man. He just puts his pants on one leg at a time. Like, get out there. What are you going to do?
If you didn't, that would be a really incredible thing. Like, I've tried my kids and jump into pants when I'm doing them, and I'm like,
That's right. I love that. Yes, absolutely. And then we were talking about happiness. So I was at a conference over the weekend with Ed Milette, who just said, like, you need to figure out how to position your brand to sell happiness. Like, he used McDonald's, which I thought was a wild comparison, but somehow he made it work. And I was like, oh yeah, but it's back to what you're talking about. Like, it's like this happiness, like people are enjoying themselves, because we do, we just get caught up, especially now. Like, I feel like 2023 is going to, I feel like 2020 maybe didn't even just start. Maybe it's like, we're still going, cause it's going to be wild. Right. But what do you, you focus on like happiness, like the value that you can bring to people, and like happiness has different paths. And I really enjoy that about that. Now, I kind of only want to shift gears just a little bit. Cause I've had people like Robin Cohen on, Tanya, Susan, everybody who's been really impactful, and I'm a girl dad. So I love to talk about women in business, and and so I love to, along with my wife, I love to bring other people into her life. So tell me about your experience as a woman in business. How have you succeeded? Were there any kind of roadblocks? Like, just your experience and how you kind of navigate this world.
That's really fitting. Excuse me. Really, I mean, I could dive deep into this topic. Before I move on to that, and I want to get to that, I just want to say on happiness really quick. If you've read it, if anyone's listening to this, read the book Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos. Fantastic book. And his whole thing is like, they sell shoes, but because of their customer experience and how their like motto is to drive memorable, happy experiences for their customers, like they could become an airline for all that matters, and they still would be fulfilling their mission. So I think that's just, it's a really good book if you want a book on like product, consumer goods brands that are doing a good job with that element of like delivering happiness.
Done.
But on to being a woman in business. I am really lucky. I have had a really, and I won't deny it, like I would be stupid if I were to be like, I can relate to people who are like minorities who've had all these obstacles. Like, I have had a very fortunate life. I have had parents and men in my life who believe in me, who propel me forward, who are advocates for me. But I know that's not the case for everybody. And as I've gotten into business and built my company with my husband, I've seen that. As I've dived into understanding, okay, less than 3% of venture capital goes to women-owned businesses.
Yeah,
that's wild. Like, there are so many like numbers that are working against women. And so I've been blessed with success and people who cheer me on. So I feel like there's a quote. Oh my gosh, I need to look it up really quick because it's so good. I want to look it up, but then I'm like, I don't want to be pausing my interview for too long.
You're fine.
But basically, it says like you have, if you have any measure of success, then you've had luck, and if you have luck and success, then you owe, like, you have a responsibility not just to your gods, but to like every other human on this earth to provide success and luck for them. And so I felt really called to that. Like that quote really resonates with me. Like, okay, we've been really lucky. I feel like we've seen a good amount of success. Like now my job moving forward is to help elevate those who have so many more roadblocks to success and luck than I have had. And most, more often than not, that's women. And a lot of times that's minority women. So Latin American women, Black women, women, mm-hmm. LGBTQ members of that community. Those are people who have so many more roadblocks than I have. So I have a duty to help remove those roadblocks. So I tried to be really outspoken again about it. Like if I mm-hmm. see an award, especially in here in Utah, we're ranked we're dead last in the nation for women's equality. And we've come in dead last 5 years in a row. And that's sickening. Yeah,
that's wild.
It's a survey, or like I think it's Wallet Hub, I can't think of the name right now.
Sure.
But they've done like polling and stuff, and they do it every year, and Utah has come in dead last for women's equality for the last 5 years. So women in politics, all of those things are factors that contribute to us being ranked so low. So now, because I know that, like, what's the quote from Spider-Man? Like with
responsibility and accountability, or like great knowledge, power becomes.
Because like you have that knowledge. It's like I'm not okay with that. Like I have three daughters. I have this almost 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And there's no way that when they're my age, when they're 15, when they're 20, there's no way that I will settle for them living in a state that is dead last for women's equality. And it's 2023. So what am I going to do to change that? And a lot of that is calling out people when they're not like helping change that status quo either. And that can be uncomfortable. I've done it on LinkedIn a few times with people who, you know, there's an award ceremony or like a list, and those things don't really matter, but it does, because when you have more women represented, then it helps others see themselves in that position. So for instance, Utah Business 2 years ago had a CEO of the year list, and there were 18, 20 people, CEOs that made the list, and 18 or like 16 of them were men, and there were like 2 or 3 that were women. And it's like, I immediately sent editor a list of like 70 female CEOs from businesses in Utah that are crushing it. And so it's things like that. Like it takes action, it takes accountability, it takes responsibility. And I'm still not the most educated person on it. Like I'm still learning and I'm still growing and I'm still trying to listen to people's stories. But if ever I have the opportunity to elevate someone who might not have that chance otherwise, I'm going to do it. And I feel like if there's any call to action I can give on a podcast like this, as mother of 3 girls, I would hope that other people would do the same. If you've had a door open for you, you open the door for another person. And I love Sid Tetro, who we've mentioned a few times. She says, if you're lucky enough to have a seat at the table, you pull up another chair for somebody else.
Amen.
And I love that. So I think that is a calling to women who are lucky enough to have a seat at the table, but then it's also a calling to all the men who have a seat at the table, which is traditionally more men than women. So it's your responsibility to pull up another chair for a woman, like I said, an individual from the LGBTQ community, whatever it is, it's your responsibility to do that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously, I'm a girl dad. My daughter's 6. She's fiery, independent, full, you know what I mean? I love it. And I never want to put that out. And so It is crazy though, because I see what you see too. Like I used to be in the camp, unfortunately, of like, you know, I was just oblivious, right? I was just ignorant. But then I started this podcast. Someone called me out. They were like, "Hey, you're just interviewing dudes, right?" And a lot of white dudes. And I was like, All right. I was like, it's my time then. You know what I mean? My time then to figure it out. I was like, you know what? Yeah. You're right. And I think it was just
it's
that.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, though. Yeah. I think it's uncomfortable to speak all that when it happened to me, though, because it's happened to me a few times. But my whole thing is like, I just want to know the truth, right? And this is the experience that is happening out there. This is what's going on. And so this is something you can't ignore. And you know, I always tell the story when we're talking about women in business, because it happened when I interviewed Sid. because she raised 118 million or whatever, like largest. And the headline in there was 118 million largest round raised by a woman. And I was like, did you like that in there? And she was like, absolutely. And I was like, oh shit. Yeah, you're probably right. I was like, cause she's like, people need to see that, right? That we can do that. And I was like, boom, that's it. So I have also tried to do a lot in this space, tried to bring more awareness to it because that's wild though. Cause I know women CEOs in Utah right now, yourself included, who I'm like, some of these male CEOs couldn't touch in a day. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, there's something to be said for that.
It's hard because like the editor from Utah Business reached back out and was like, well, and I could pull things out, but I won't. I think almost direct quote was, the women that you sent me are entrepreneurs, not CEOs.
Oh, get out of here, bro.
She went, it was a girl. That's what made it even more disheartening for me. And she said, the CEOs that we're looking for are CEOs who are running like 500 people plus companies. Those are CEOs. Like that's a different breed than someone who's just like made $1 million. And I'm like, but when you know that women have less access to capital and you know all these statistics are working against them, the fact that a woman who's probably also a mom on the side or whatever, maybe working a side hustle.
Right.
If she's making $1 million plus in revenue or $5 million plus in revenue, that's probably something that male CEO couldn't do. Yes, there is a difference, but like that doesn't mean that she's not a qualified CEO just because she's not, her company doesn't have 500. It makes her qualified because she's found a way to make money regardless of the barriers that she's facing.
It's
really interesting. And I think that's kind of like you said, like when your eyes become open to the fact that like even I've contributed to the problem as a woman, it's like I've just there's been years where I've just been really complacent. I'm like, oh, that doesn't affect me. Like I have really great men in my life who support me. I have a great network of people who are helping me. Like when you recognize that, oh, wow, that is the definition of privilege. And there's a lot of people who don't have that. Then I need to be an advocate for those people. So anyway, I could go on with this. Thank you for allowing me. I think it's really important.
No, I think it is important too, because like I mentioned, I mean, I've had a lot of the big hitters in Utah on here to talk about this, because it's something that I want to be passionate about, that I want to be involved in. And there's a lot of great men out there who are trying to get more involved. And I guess from your perspective, because I know you, I mean, I wanted to bring this up eventually because I knew that this would be a really great conversation to have. What do you think? I just want to talk about men for a minute. Like a lot of my peers are men. A lot of people who listen are men, and so I'd like to just give you the platform for a minute to teach us. Like, what do you think could make the most impact? What do you think could be the? I mean, obviously, pull an extra seat up. But what does that look like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think it's first realizing that just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to I think that's like a big thing where you, I've been at fault for that as well. Like in the past, thinking of things regarding race or gender equality, whatever it may be, it's like, well, just because it doesn't affect me doesn't mean it's affecting other people. Mm-hmm. And if it's affecting other people, that's their reality. So yeah. I think that a lot of times we push off other people's realities, like, well, that's just them complaining, or that's just them wanting attention, or we push it aside because it can be uncomfortable to confront. But when we can open up those conversations, like you said, like, what can men do? I think it's literally just like pulling the seat up at the table, but then opening up the conversation. Like, if you are the leader of your organization, sit down with the women in your team and say, what can we do to make this organization a better place for women? Mm. And it could be as simple as, there are never tampons in the bathroom. Like, we need tampons and pads and like feminine care products in the bathrooms. That could be a simple thing that makes your organization a better place for women. It could be, hey, I need, sometimes my kids call in, you know, from school sick, like, I need more flexibility to go pick them up from school, or whatever it is. And sit down and listen to the experiences that other people are having, and then be open to working through what needs to happen to make changes in your organization that can support the women. Because the more women feel supported in your organization, if it's a business, if this is business we're talking about, you're going to have a better talent pool. You're going to have a more diverse thought in your organization. All of those things will contribute to the success. So there was a, I need to just like have all these statistics pulled in front of me so I don't botch them at any given time. But there was a podcast or a book that I was reading recently that was talking about how when there is a female in an organization in the top like leadership, so at like the C-suite level, that organization is going to be X amount more like efficient, and you'll see X amount more growth than related businesses who don't have a female in the executive level position. And that's because when you have a more diverse group of thought at mm-hmm. the top, you're going to be able to reach more people in a more real way, mm-hmm. an authentic way. So I think it's just, you know, pulling up the chair and then being willing to have the hard conversations about how you can be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really, it's what hard can you get?
I know. It's simple. And I love it. Cause when you were talking, I was like, it reminded me of my experience, like jumping from a non-tech sales role into a tech sales role. And I only say that because this is just how it made sense in my mind, right? This is how I connected the dots, because nobody thought like that a guy who came from like retail, like B2C, could be successful in a B2B sale, right? Like, they were just like, nah, it's not going to happen. It never happened. Yeah. It is like, it totally got written off. And I was like, but you don't understand like that I've made hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in sales, like in these. And I think the playbook can work here too. And just totally getting shut down was my little token of like, this is bananas that you guys don't want to hear some of this stuff. Right. And so that's when it kind of flipped for me when I was hearing that, because I was like, yeah, absolutely. There's more than one way to make this work. Right. So why wouldn't we try it?
Yeah.
But well, that's wild.
Sure. Yeah.
Crazy. Well, that's cool. Well, my mind is spinning. I've learned a ton. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate that we got to make this work.
Thank you for having me, Dalton. It's great.
Yeah, Thread kills it.
Such a great conversation.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm grateful. It was all you. Thread kills it. So before I let you go, though, before I let you get out of here, where can people follow you? Where can people get involved? If it's Thread, if it's another place, let us know.
Yeah. You can follow me on LinkedIn, just Mackenzie Bauer. My personal Instagram is Mackenzie Bauer. But I mean, go check out our company, our website. It's www.threadwallets, like needle and thread. wallets.com, and then you can find us on Instagram, thread_wallet. So yeah, come check us out. Come connect with me on LinkedIn. I love meeting new people.
Heck yeah, I love it. Thank you, Mackenzie.